Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the Sunbury Motors Studio is brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Keywords, 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. I want to talk about dealerships that will take great care of you. Sunbury, the name SMC, Sunbury Motors Company, well, it says it all right there. Tom and his staff will always take great care of you all the way through. Hilsers General Store sponsors our hotline at 800-795-9565. They're 7 miles south of Sealands Grove, Routes 11 to 15, the 21st Century General Store. It's amazing when you walk in there, everything you can get. It's amazing. Check it out online at www.hilsersstore.com. Bill O'Brien tonight. Real Sports, Brian Gumbel, Andrea Kramer will do the segment. A lot of Bill's emotions in dealing with the sanctions going through the early part of last season, but also his son Jack. Jack is a marvelous, marvelous young man. But, you know, I've been around when Jack has had seizures. And Colleen and Bill had done wonders. I mean, Jack was not supposed to live beyond 3. I think he's 11 now. But there's something when you know, Jack's always, you know, he's always in a wheelchair, always. But when you get on your knee to talk to him, and because I will go over and I will talk to Jack. If Jack's at practice, I always go over to him. And you talk to him, he recognizes you. He smiles at you, okay? But still, it's, you know, for a family, still, it's heartbreaking every day. And it's a challenge every single day. And they'll talk about that. And then there's Michael, who, the 8-year-old, who's the life of the party. he's something else. He really is. Hey, Michael has a great, yeah. When you ask Michael about, they said, did your dad teach you how to throw a ball? You know what his answer is? He goes, no, Tom Brady did. Let's bring in Tim Owen, Blue Eye Illustrated. Tim, great to have you with us, first of all. Appreciate it very much. Were you surprised that the big story of last week really died on the vine quickly?
Well, I mean, they got right in front of that story, and it's kind of refreshing to see them see that reaction. I mean, before the magazine even hit the newsstands, O'Brien was out in front of it, whether it was on College Football Live or his a teleconference that had everyone talking about. They really just killed it. And, you know, it really, by the time the magazine got my mailbox on Thursday, you know, it was basically an old story. And, you know, I don't really think there's going to be any type of repercussions that come from it. I mean, at least not that I'm hearing of so far. So, yeah, Penn State, O'Brien especially, they did a great job of getting out in front of that story and kind of taking the wheels off before really took any momentum, I think, which is refreshing to see. You know, that's definitely something refreshing to see out of Penn State right now.
Did you finally get a chance to read it?
Yeah. I mean, we got an advanced copy there on, I think it was on Tuesday, maybe Monday evening, and yeah, you know, I read it, and you know, I was a little, you know, surprised by some of the, you know, details in there. You know, maybe, you know, some of the things with Tim Brame, the trainer. But at the same time, you know, a lot of you read the story and you just kind of wonder, you know, what the motivation behind it was, you know, where the the original claim stemmed from, and you know, even though they interviewed O'Brien in it, you know, they didn't really include a whole lot of his side of the story. You know, like you mentioned, they even offered a complete medical synopsis of to a Sports Illustrated that they didn't even use. So to me, it seemed a little one-sided, and like I said, it was kind of, you know, one-sided to try to figure out, you know, where these claims stemmed from. You know, who kind of put this bug in Epstein's ear, the writer. That was kind of my initial reaction, which is kind of, you know, just a little one-sided, I thought.
Have you decided to look further into it yourself? I mean, and I'm talking about the angle you just talked about, like, in other words, finding out where it came from, or have you decided to bypass it?
I mean, we're not necessarily spending a whole lot of time on it, Steve, but I guess, yeah, it's definitely something you just kind of keep an eye out for. I mean, the separation right now among the fan base, you know, that you have so many people out there who are still trying to restore Joe Paterno's name and his legacy, and they're still trying to, you know, hang on to the way things used to be. But in the same sense, we're in a whole new era here. You know, O'Brien made that perfectly clear in almost every public statement that he's made since this article. Is, you know, things are changing, times are moving on, and, you know, not everybody's going to be happy with how things have transpired, whether it's Sebastianelli not being on the medical staff anymore, you know, whether it's, you know, Tim Bream being the head guy of the medical staff and taking care of, you know, being the number one, you know, trainer on the staff. You know, sometimes that's going to rub people the wrong way, and I think, you know, it's just a matter of time where people are going to get adjusted to O'Brien's new way of coaching, new way of, you know, ushering in this new era of Penn State football, and it's not going to make everybody happy. So, I mean, it might be tough to single out one or two people who, you know, put the bug in Epstein's ear, but it's more of just kind of a fracture right now in the Penn State fan base, I think. Just, you know, you're going to have some people who don't want to see these changes, where if you want to have this program move forward, some of these changes are going to be inevitable.
At the same time, it seemed like the majority of the articles I read last week actually dealt with what you just talked about and actually not really with the story. Is that, you know, in talking with other guys that cover this, I mean, is that the prevailing feeling that, I mean, because most of the articles I read dealt about with with the topic you just talked about.
Of course. And yeah, everyone I've talked to, that's, you know, basically that's the underlying consensus. You know, you have the names out there in this story, you know, the problems with Dave Joyner, the problems with Sebastianelli and Tim Bream, but that's kind of the big picture of it all. You know, the underlying facts of all this is just basically the fracture in the fan base right now and fracture in the university even to a certain extent. And that's kind of, you know, the general consensus that I've heard, you know, talking to some of the guys on the beat. And I think Dave Jones hit it right on the head when he wrote his column. I think it came out the day after, or I think it came out that Wednesday, maybe even that Tuesday, when the news of the story first broke. And that's basically the premise of Joyner's column, or excuse me, of Jones' column that he wrote the Patriot News. Was, you know, just, it's a bigger thing here. It's a fracture right now, and it's just kind of is it a matter of time till it heals, or is it something that's going to just have to play itself out? And Are some people going to be unhappy about it, no matter, you know, what changes O'Brien brings about, you know, just because it's going to be so different than what Penn State fans have been used to dealing for the last four decades. You know, it's an interesting dynamic of this whole O'Brien phase, you know, this whole phasing into the new era of Penn State football compared to what it used to be. And you're going to have things like this that pop up, you know, this infighting. But also, I mean, maybe that's just part of it. When you're going from a 40-year legend like Paterno to this new wave, a new modern NFL-style type of college football program, you know, those changes are going to be are coming with it. And it's just kind of who's on board and who kind of wants to hang back and kind of see, just kind of stick to what the program used to be. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this progresses and settles itself out.
Yet at the same time, certain standards are still there. Graduation standards are still there. There'll be, I believe, 7 or 8 current players that will have their degree based on May's graduation. Then there'll be more in August. I mean, you still have that. Next month, we know that Christian Hackenberg arrives. Tyler Ferguson's already here. Your thoughts, I mean, have you ever seen Hackenberg throw a ball either on tape or in person?
Not in person, I haven't. But, yeah, I've seen all the highlight films that we have at Rivals, and I've actually seen clips of a few of his games from this past year from his senior season. And then he was at the Under Armour All-Star game in January. That was on national TV, and I watched him there. And, you know, the kid's a player. He's got a huge frame. He stands tall in the pocket, and he's got a huge arm. I mean, I think the only downside to his arm is he likes to throw it into coverage a little bit too much sometimes. I mean, that was at least the case when he was at Fort Union. But he's got the tools, Steve. That's what I tell everybody. And you know, he was rated as a 5-star and the number one quarterback for a reason. And when you bring a recruit in of that magnitude, you bring him in with the understanding that he's going to play. He might not start the opening game. Might not start by week 2. But what I've been telling everybody who asks, I think he'll be the starter by the time the Indiana game rolls around, which is the start of the Big Ten schedule. I just don't see O'Brien bringing in a 5-star recruit such as Hackenberg and sitting him the entire year, especially when there's not a proven guy on the roster already. If I had to put my money on it, I'd say Hackenberg is the starter by Indiana, perhaps even sooner. You might not see him in the opening game. You might not see him in East Rutherford, but I think, you know, after a couple more weeks in the system, he gets a little more comfortable. Kind of, who knows how, you know, Ferguson opens something up for, you know, for Hackenberg to come in. I think you see him by Indiana. Because from what I have seen on video, like I said, I haven't seen him in person. Yeah. What I have seen on video, he's got all the tools, and it's just going to be a matter of time before he gets O'Brien's playbook underneath him, which he's had the playbook for most of the summer since he signed his letter of intent. And I think he'll definitely be able to come in here and contribute this first year. I don't think you bring in a 5-star if you don't expect him to contribute right away.
The one guy, now I've never seen him throw a ball, so I've really, you know, I feel like I'm one of the few that's reserved judgment because I've never seen him throw a ball. Tyler Ferguson, I have seen him throw a ball, and as have you. What did you think of him during the course of the spring? Because he now has at least 15 Bill O'Brien practices, Charlie Fisher practices under his belt.
I think Ferguson has a real live arm. You look at him throw the ball, especially compared to Stephen Bench when he was here, and Ferguson's ball just came off hand just a little more smoother, with a little bit more snap, and the spirals maybe just a little bit more tighter, and they were in where the receivers, you know, like to catch the ball, you know, right to the hands, right to the chest, over top the shoulder on the go routes. And I think that was kind of his best attribute. I think that's one of the things that O'Brien saw that helped separate him from Bench. But some of the downside that I've seen from Ferguson that I think, you know, might play into this race when Hackenberg gets on campus is Ferguson just didn't necessarily look totally comfortable this spring, I thought. I mean, he definitely had the arm, like I said, and he's a Division I athlete. I just wasn't totally sold on his comfort behind the line of scrimmage. And Hackenberg very well might have that same problem. You know, that comfort is probably going to be the hardest thing for these quarterbacks to get past when they start the season. It's, you know, they're both in this system for their first times. And as O'Brien has made it clear, McGloin made it clear last year, this isn't a normal system. This is basically a NFL system that changes week to week. It's got a, you know, it's a whole different language, as what you hear some of the players say. So I think it's going to be, it's a big thing about how comfortable they get behind the line of scrimmage. And Ferguson, he had a good arm. He looked to have all the tools this spring, but the comfort level just kind of didn't seem to be there. And that's going to be interesting to see how comfortable Hackenberg is when he gets here, too. Is that going to be a problem for both of them this preseason? Are they both going to, you know, have a little bit of pad or a little bit of cushion time before they totally feel comfortable with O'Brien's offense? Or is Ferguson, now that he's 15 practices in and had this summer to, these first few months of summer to get used to it, is he going to kick that discomfort to the curb, and is he going to be the guy? I mean, it's just going to be tough to tell. You see them both in the system here this summer and both getting reps, getting even reps, and, you know, working with the first team. But I think that comfort level is really going to be the X factor. You know, how comfortable are they with their teammates? How comfortable are they with O'Brien and Charlie Fisher? How comfortable are they with the offense, of course? I think that's going to be the X factor. I think Hackenberg has maybe the better physical tools. But if Ferguson can show that he's the guy, that he has the confidence, that he's comfortable, there's a chance Ferguson could, you know, hold on to the starting job. But if I had to guess, I think it's Hackenberg before too long.
About, what, 100 days now before the opener at MetLife Stadium against Syracuse. So as a part of this countdown, how anxious are you for the next 100 to go by?
Probably going to go by pretty quick. I mean, we have to enjoy our summer. You know, like you said, it's maybe a little bit of slow time of the year right now, but before we know it, it'll be August, preseason camp, and media days will be rolling around, and then and they start it off against Syracuse. Yeah, it's going to be an exciting year. You know, just like every year is exciting at this point. You know, you're looking ahead at all the new possibilities. You got new quarterbacks, this new quarterback battle, and you know, you have Akeel Winch coming up through. Everyone's expecting big things from Akeel Winch. So there's a lot to be excited about for this year. I'm actually just doing a four-part series on BWI's website today. They looked back at each recruiting class, starting with the class of 2009. Mm-hmm. And it's just a kind of exciting to see, you know, you're the best recruit right now, or the best player out of that class of 2009. Well, I consider John Urschel was only a two-star recruit when he was recruited by right. Penn State a couple of years ago. So it's kind of just exciting to see how those guys start off as, you know, two-star, three-star recruits, and, you know, they grow to become, in John Urschel's case, a three-year starter and maybe the best student athlete in the country. That's always an exciting part of this time of year, just kind of looking forward and to see how everyone's going to develop.
Yeah, if Urschel doesn't win the Campbell Award, there is something, they might as well blow the award up. I mean, Barrett Jones won it this past year. Barrett Jones, I understand, he deserved it. But if Urschel mm-hmm. doesn't win it this year, then the award is obviously should be called the Joke Award. Tim, thanks so much. Tim, thanks so much.
I mean, he's graduating in May. He's going to have a master's in May. Who does that?
Let me put it to you this way. How many guys up for the Campbell Award teach the class?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah, I'm pretty much done with my presentation now. Starts, graduated, master's, teaches the college class. Other than that, I don't think, I mean, I just did a 15-second presentation. There's no need to do more.
That's it. Give them the award right now.
Well, you should. I mean, I can't imagine anybody in the same category, same class. I mean, if I'm them, I just do like a publicity thing, but like I already have the dude picked.
Yeah. I mean, you basically can't. I mean, I obviously don't know the other candidates as well.
No. Tim.
I don't think you really have to.
I don't. Yeah.
Who teaches classes? Who gets his master's degree within, you know, his 5 years while playing Penn State football, Division I football, and starting? Right. Three
Unless they're
years.
Playing wide receiver and split the atom, no. Okay.
Hey, that might be his next task. Who knows?
Tim, thanks so much. I appreciate it. As always, your time. Always a great guest.
All right. Thanks for having me, Steve. We'll talk.
Tim Owen, Blue White Illustrated. Unless there's some wideout out there at Arizona State or something that's splitting the atom, forget it. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. Like a 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. 2012 Hyundai Veloster 3-door coupe with black interior, $16,889. 2012 Kia Sorento 4-wheel drive LX, $16,999. It's one tough truck. A 2010 Ford F-150 Super Crew, just $25,998. And a 2010 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited four-door Sahara, $26,994. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at SunburyMotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
It's election day, primary election day. The polls are open until 8 o'clock. News Radio 1070 WKOK's coverage of primary election 2013 kicks into high gear at 9 o'clock this evening. Join us for complete up-to-the-minute election results right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. News is next.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on what is a very warm Tuesday afternoon. Love to have love to be over at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club right now. Playing a round of golf with three safe people.
But unfortunately, that's not available to you.
So we'll go out with two safe people and one extremely dangerous one on June 5th.
I prefer wicked.
No, I prefer that we use words that people can relate to and are accurate.
Okay? I prefer wicked because you could use it either way. I mean, it could be wicked good, could be wicked bad.
Well, to quote Matt Damon, you're wicked awful.
All right, bad.
So, you're wicked awful. You almost killed me.
You know, I'm going to have to do something to top that. Just so you forget.
What? In other words, just plain kill me?
No.
That would be dramatic, negative wise.
You know,
it would make the Gazette.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be no, I can't do that. It wouldn't be right. I could do something to top it. Maybe I'll actually hit the ball straight on two consecutive holes.
So, in other words, like giving us collective heart attacks, like unbelievable, we're in shock, and all of a sudden we're gone.
That's your problem, not mine.
So, natural causes, we're done.
I did not, that was not my fault, and it cannot be proven.
You almost killed me.
You know, the real feel's 91 today?
Yeah, I know that.
As
it's unbelievable.
As I gently change the subject.
I mean, try to do me in. Sunbury Motors is the sponsor of our great studio. Sunbury Motors, by the way, a huge supporter of the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. I mean, they are so ingrained in the tournament in terms of their support because they want to do everything they can to support the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Bonnie Wasmer and her crew they do a great job, and they do it for the kids. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilsers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilsers General Store. Go to www.hilsersstore.com, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Super Bowl 50, San Francisco, they're building the new stadium in Santa Clara. It'll open in 2014. It will be a ticketless stadium. It'll be a stadium where you can literally order from your seat on concessions and Wi-Fi available for all 75,000 patrons.
Explain to me how the ticketless part works. I've heard you say that a couple of times. I've heard other people say it, but how are they going to know if you have purchased a ticket to sit in a seat if it's ticketless?
I believe that they have a way. I mean, I think you can even do it on your phone.
Well, and that's okay if you have a smartphone, but that's assuming everybody's got a smartphone then. I just wonder, you know, you and I go to a game and I have a seat that I think is right, but you have the seat that you think is yours. How do you prove it without the ticket?
Right. obviously they've come up with a way of doing it.
That's
which
interesting.
But that's what it's going to be, ticketless. With the idea is, I think the way they can do it electronically is you can't duplicate tickets.
Unless they have a wristband that they're going to give you.
Maybe, I don't know.
You know, because I know amusement parks have experimented with this, and actually several of them, including Hershey Park, do it, where you can purchase money on the wristband ahead of time and then just wave the wristband when you go to pay for something like a drink or, you know, an item in a store, and it comes right off that. Maybe it's somewhere along the wristband style where you just show your wristband. I don't know.
Right. So, I mean, there was an easy call there. The next big story of the day is all the layoffs at ESPN. They're investing money left and right in things. SEC Network, they just quietly redid the U.S. Open Tennis Championship contract, basically took it away from CBS. They no longer have money poured into the World Cup because Fox has that. Now, what will become of those 400 employees? Well, believe it or not, there could be work for them down the road. NBC Sportsnet, which is located actually in Stamford, Connecticut, about 30 miles south of Bristol, they're expanding. So there is at least that possibility for them. And Fox, of course, is starting F1 in August. Fox Sports 1 in August.
Yeah, but you know, that's a misnomer. They're really not starting it. They're just reworking speed.
Well, reworking speed, I mean, they're really starting it, because by saying reworking speed, there will be no elements of the speed channel remaining. They took the outlet and they're changing it.
So they're not going to do racing at all on it, but or just not as much? See,
well,
if they
have rights to it, they will, because you need to have live events. But they're going to put baseball on there. They're going to put a lot of talk shows on there. I know that. Soccer is going to be on there because Fox is going to get the World Cup. And so you know soccer is going to make the cut over there.
Now, are they doing away with the soccer channel now? And that's going to be in, is that going to
no,
be Fox
they'll still
Sports
have
2?
That. No, but they'll still have the soccer channel, but there's plenty of soccer to go around.
No, that's a good point.
I mean, there's plenty of it to go around. So they have the rights. Fox already has the rights to a lot of things. From Major League Baseball to the NFL to NASCAR. I mean, Fox has a lot. And look, it is good for ESPN to have a legitimate competitor. NBC Sportsnet's trying. Fox is now going to try. It does give them outlets. And, of course, TBS. TBS has quietly done a good job of acquiring rights. By the way, we're going to have Jim Nance on. I think it was tomorrow was the target date to have Jim Nance on.
Yeah.
Just as an aside for everybody, when Ken Venturi passed away on Friday, we knew that the plans would change this week, and then we were informed by Jim Nance's people that they were going to change, because obviously with the funeral, Jim's emotional involvement in this, and then still having to work the Colonial, we knew we'd have to postpone. So we're postponing. We'll come up with a new date. We'll have him on. He's a class act. I mean, Jim Nance is an absolute class act, if you've ever met him. He's one of those guys that when you meet him right away, you say, yeah, you know what? Cool guy. He will be on the show. We're, by the way, working on one of the more outspoken individuals on the planet, Timmy Doyle. Timmy D. Timmy D, by the way, will do the show in a heartbeat. We just have to set up the date from Big Ten Network. He is a fun, outgoing guy. I mean, just a cool guy. So we're working on getting him back on. There's actually a list of people, but Vince Welsh is on tomorrow. You're so excited, you can barely contain yourself.
Listen, Vince Welsh is great. I love to watch him in the pits. And I'm still a big Jack Arute fan, but Vince Welsh would be a very close second to Jack when it comes to pit reporting.
Mm-hmm. No question.
And that's a shame, too. And I don't know what happened between NBC Sports versus and Jack Arute, but the people they have in the pits are fine. There's nothing wrong with it. I watched it a lot this weekend, and of course, watching IndyCar a lot, you see him. But it's just missing something without Jack in the pits. I mean, his experience and his connections in there with Robin Miller as well made it really interesting, because those are two guys that just know inside and out the people, personalities of IndyCar racing, and it gave you an insight that that I think they're missing right now.
Right.
And ABC misses that, too, even though they've done, like mm-hmm. I said, they've done a great job, and Vince does a great job with it. You know, Jack being at the Indianapolis 500 so many years, having him there is just, just doesn't seem right.
And we'll have Vince Welsh on tomorrow to be part of the show. We have a large lineup coming up on Friday, too. Neil Riddell being one of them from the Altoona Mirror coming up on Friday to talk about a variety of issues. And you know what? We have to get Dave Jones back here on the show pretty soon. Dave's written some compelling stuff lately. Gene Burrows is leaving officially the Penn State basketball coaching staff. He's going to join Jeff Bauer, joining JV's staff at Marist in Poughkeepsie, New York. So Patrick Chambers does now officially have an opening on his staff to fill. And by the way, we'll get Patrick Chambers on before within the next week. Coaches versus Cancer is next week, so we'll talk about that. Our number 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. If you'd like to jump in and talk about any of the topics we've talked about today. And there have been a wide variety of topics that we have discussed today. From what Tim Owen brought up to what was brought up by Josh Yowie to what Kevin and I have brought up today. We've had a wide variety on here today.
For a minute there, I thought you were going to go into Wide World of Sports intro.
No, wide variety of topics we've talked about today, from the Penguins to Penn State to your usual topic of racing to my ability to bring it back to the fact that it's a sports show.
What? Yeah, listen, I told you, I said, this is my week, this is my month, actually, is May. I love May. It's almost as good as late August, early September when football starts.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I was saying it was 100 days until the start of football season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's another countdown I now have. It's 10 days until May's over with.
Yeah, I can understand. It's... My wife is in the same boat you are right now. After the 15th hour of Indianapolis coverage, she goes, really? We're watching this again? I said, no, this is a new day. Oh, she said, that's wonderful. I'm so happy. She wanted to go to Best Buy in a hurry or somewhere to pick up a new TV. Okay.
I want somebody to tell me what the Vegas odds were last night on the Astros and Marlins winning on the same night.
About the same as me hitting Powerball.
The Marlins beat the Phillies last night. Cole Hamels pitched well enough, but there was no offensive support. And the Astros beat Kansas City, and Kansas City is a good club, 6-5. Do you realize what the Phillies' record is when they have a chance to get within one game of 500?
It would scare me to know.
The Phillies are 0-8. When they have a chance to get within one game of 500 this season.
Ironically, I think that's the same record that they have of getting a run in from third with a runner in scoring position.
I mean, the Phillies have had 8 chances this year to get within a game of 500. They've lost all 8 games.
How many days till football?
100. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Final segment of the show. We are T-minus 7 days and counting until we are Indy free.
My first lap clock is still counting down.
Yes, I'm trying to reassure the audience that we're going in a good direction.
Well, you know, well, let's see. We'll have Monday. Monday you'll be, you know, we'll have Memorial Day, so we're going to do a best of the Steve Jones Show. And then Tuesday we'll have the wrap-up of the entire weekend. And then Wednesday you're free, and you're indie free for the next 300 and about 30 days. Not indie car free, but indie free.
Don't get the populace excited. Coming up, this is primary election day. The polls are open until 8 o'clock. And tonight, beginning at 9 o'clock, we'll have complete election coverage right here on your news leader, News Radio 1070, WKOK, starting at 9 this evening. Complete election coverage. What's interesting is that they'll always tell you that turnout for this particular election is going to be light, as opposed to the millions that went to the polls across the country in the first Tuesday in November last year, presidential election. But no politics affects you more than local politics. That's why these elections and these primaries are so important. So the polls are open for another 3 hours. If you can get there, great. Exercise your right. And then at 9 tonight, News Radio 1070 WKOK will be all over this.
I am proud to say I have not missed an election since turning 18, primary or general.
Well, I'd feel better about it if, you know, if I knew you knew what you were doing when you went in there. No.
I haven't done idiot dots in a long time. All right.
Just kidding.
We used to do that on the old Iowa test of basic skills in school, but yeah, I never did that. No, you know what? It was, I haven't missed one since I was 18. And I actually had one that I had to do. I almost missed actually last fall. Because I had to do an absentee ballot, and I was the last day to get it in. I didn't realize I only had a few days before the election to get the absentee ballot in.
Right. Exactly.
And I got it on the deadline.
Good. Right. So
I did have a political science teacher in school, though, that did tell me one time, he said, don't vote. I'm going to be the only person that will ever tell you don't vote. I don't want you to vote, because that makes my vote more powerful. I'm like, well, there's a way to look at it.
Fabulous. But I say go ahead and vote. It's what separates us.
I didn't say I said that.
Yeah, I know you didn't.
Oh, okay.
By the way, a great move by the USGA and the RNA today. Belly putters as of January 1st, 2016, gone. Anchor putters, gone. The reason I say this is that golf is a free-swinging game, okay? You have the yips, you have the yips, all right? You get in the green, you have the yips. That's your issue. It's a free-swinging game. What are the advantages of having an anchor putter? Okay, let me give you a prime example. If any of you out there have given a speech, I don't care if the speech is to 25, 50, 100, 1,000, 10,000 people. All right. Now, for me, I could care less. I get up. I don't care how big the crowd is. And it's just my nature. I don't care. All right. But for anybody who teaches public speaking, they will tell you right away that if you are nervous, always take your hands and place them on the outside of the podium. And it's remarkable how much it steadies you when it happens. It's like telling a baseball announcer, for example, when the ball's hit in the air to the outfield, don't look at the ball, look at the fielder. Because of depth perception, the fielder will always take you to the ball. It'll tell you how far it's hit, where it's hit, the whole thing. That's the key as a baseball announcer. Okay. Well, the same thing in public speaking. You want to steady yourself when you stand in front of a group because you may have that moment or whatever. Put your hands on each side of the podium. That will steady you and also steady your hands, obviously. A belly putter is the same concept. By anchoring it against you, you now put it around it, and it's steady and ready for you. It's a great move to
gradually remove it from the game. Because golf is a free swinging game.
So in other words, you're telling me don't buy one.
No. Well, they could bring water from Lourdes and sprinkle them over your clubs and it's not going to matter. okay.
Listen, so, I putt poorly. I was actually thinking about doing that.
But I think it's good for the game that it's out. As of January 1st, 2016, it is interesting that four of the last six winners of major tournaments have used those putters.
If you're a pro, you shouldn't need that putter.
Well, like, when you've got a lot at stake and a lot on the line.
Yeah, but even an oversized driver, you shouldn't need that if you're a professional golfer either.
I guess.
I mean, those are for guys like me that are just trying to look like they know what they're doing. Keyword is look.
But that's why I'm glad it's out. I'm glad, you know, and they're doing it the right way. They're giving everybody a chance. I mean, because the rest of the season they can use it. The rest of all of 14 they can use it. All of 15 they can use it. It's 2.5 years before this kicks in. So when I go to the U.S. Open next month, you know, the Keegan Bradleys and the Adam Scotts of the world will have this ability to use it in that tournament and the majors coming up. And we'll do so for 2.5 years. But I think in the end, for the USGA and for the RNA, it is absolutely the right thing to do. I mean, you're standing out there with a wedge 105 yards away from the hole. You have to swing the club. Well, to me, you have to have that same ability on the green without anchoring.